Let's pray.
Our Father, we are here this morning because we at one point in our life came to recognize that you and you alone are the great one.
Amen.
And Lord, that we're nothing. We're less than a drop in the bucket. But Lord, we've come to recognize also that through the blood of Jesus Christ that you've made us acceptable in your sight. We come this morning to thank you, to praise you, to glorify that precious name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We pray that the message this morning will touch the heart of someone who's in need, someone who doesn't understand the conflict, someone who has fallen beneath the load, someone who is experiencing difficulties and temptation. We pray, Lord, that your word this morning might be comforting, that it might be inspiring. We ask you, Lord Jesus, this morning to accomplish your purpose and to show yourself the great God that you are. In that name above all names, we ask it. Amen. I spent a long time in Mexico before I saw the truth that I want to present this morning, do my best to present. It's been a while since I preached on the Potter. I used to take people to various places in Mexico to visit. I take them to see how they made the serapes. I took them to the place where they made the bread. I took them to various places, and one of the places was the Potter's house. In the beginning, I just took people to the Potter's house and let them watch the Potter as he made the things on the Potter's wheel. And little by little, the Lord began to open the truth of the potter to me. And every time I visited the potter's house and would take somebody, the Lord would reveal something new to me. And to find it got to be such a long spiel that it was about all we could do in one day is to go to the potter's house. And of course, I don't have all day here this morning, but I'm going to try to present to you some of the things that the Lord has shown to me in the potter's house. I wish we could be in the potter's house this morning because it's a lot better to be there firsthand. I'll have to try to use your imagination this morning that you can see all that there is at the potter's house. I have before you here some raw material and then right on through the various stages until the finished product. And in these various stages, every one of you is represented. Every single person this morning is represented by one of the various articles that you see in front of you. All but the last one. None of us have gotten to that place yet, but those of us that have been saved, that know the Lord Jesus, we're going to be there too. We have his promise. But I want to try to relate this morning to you the story of the potter and help you to relate, if you can, yourself to the clay and see just where you are in this process and how God has deigned by the process that the potter uses to form those of you and I who have received the Lord Jesus Christ into the finished product. Before we start, I want to read the passage from Jeremiah that speaks about the potter. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. This is probably the best description of the potter, probably the best known is over in Romans, but we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Now this is the experience that I had. I went to the potter's house, and there I heard the words of the Lord. I really received revelation. Now, not like Jeremiah. I don't claim to be a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I received instruction from the Lord through his word at the potter's house, and it became real to me. So it says, Jeremiah, "I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, and so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Now this, just to give you a brief background, this is not the message, but the background of this message is that Israel took, God took Israel from among the heathen nations. And he began to form this nation. He's talking about the nation now. And he said he began to form the nation as it pleased him. But the vessel was marred in his hand. Now, this in the Bible is just simply saying that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel to be their Savior, to be their Redeemer. And in John, the first chapter says he came in his own, and his own received him not. But he says, "To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name." Now the Gentiles have the message preached to them today. That is, we have heard the gospel because the Jews rejected Christ. Now in the book of Romans it says, therefore hath Israel stumbled that he might fall. And Paul says, God forbid. And then he goes on to explain how that after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, that God will again return to the nation of Israel and again mold them in the way that he wants to mold them. Now that's what it's saying here. He says to Jeremiah that the vessel that he made was marred in his hand. But he made it again a vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And then he applied it to the nation of Israel and said, so are you in my hand. Now Israel has been marred. And for 2,000 years, they have been set aside. But believe me, brother and sister, that God is still the potter, and Israel is still the clay, and one day he's going to put that lump back on the wheel, and he's going to make it a glorious nation. If you don't believe that, you just read the Bible all the way through. Listen, the prophets, every one of them, pronounced woe and doom upon the nation of Israel, but in the very last of the book, they would always say, but in the end, the Lord will return and do good unto the nation of Israel. And the promise was given over and over again to those that look for the Lord, that in the last days that God will do his work. And so Paul said, and so at the last all Israel shall be saved. Well, that's not the message, but that's just telling you what this passage is about. Now then, the potter is a very unusual person. In fact, he's a vanishing species. Very few potters are left that do this work. I understand that in the States now that some are learning again this marvelous work of pottery. And they're buying wheels and again going into the work of pottery. But there's nothing quite like pottery. I tell you, to watch those men as they work is really a marvelous thing. But to understand all of the potter's work is to understand God's work in our lives. So I want to share with you this morning some of that. Now the potter, the first thing he does, he has to start with raw material. Now this is just a piece of clay that's been dug out of the earth. It's just like all the other clay, and of course they know what clay is best suited for them, and they go out into the pit. They call it the pit, and by the way, you know, that's a very good expression, isn't it? That's where the Lord found us, in the pit. You know, you've heard that expression, you know, man, I'm in the pit, you know. Well, that's where we were. When God found us, we were in the pit.
Yeah.
Well, this is just a piece of clay. Now, you know, man does not like to recognize what he is. The biggest problem that man has in recognizing what he really is. Now, there is a doctrine that's called the doctrine of total depravity. Now, that means simply that man is completely bad. Now, most of us recognize that we're not all good. But not very many of us have been willing to recognize that we're all bad. You follow me? You know, I talked with a guy one time in Mexico, and of course it's happened more than once, but the first time it happened, it really brought me to my senses, you know. I was talking to this fellow, and I quoted to him the scripture, you know, for all have sinned, and he agreed, he shook his head, and I said, you realize we're all sinners? He said, I agree, we're all sinners. And I said, that means that you're a sinner. And he thought about it for a minute, he said, I'm not so bad. I never did get that man to confess that he was a sinner. It's one thing to say that we're sinners. It's one thing to say that I'm not real good. But it's another thing to say that we are totally depraved. That is, there's nothing within us that's good. When God looks upon the natural man, he sees nothing but a piece of raw clay. Now, I used to ask this when I would take him to the potter's house. I'd pick up a piece of this clay. And I'd say, now can you imagine that there's anything that this would be good for? Is there any value in that? Can you see anything good in that? There's not anything. Now, it might be that someone could use it for a paperweight, but usually they find something that's a little more attractive for paperweights even. But now really, friend, there's nothing of any value in this. Absolutely nothing. But you know what? This is really a picture of man in his natural state. Now, this is not just being romantic. This is being factual, because the Bible says that God took dust, the dust of the earth, and with that dust that he formed a man. He also told Adam, he said, from dust thou art taken, and unto dust thou shalt return. Do you ever open a coffin? What do you find in a coffin after it's been in the ground for a while? Just dust. That's right. If it's been there long enough, it'll just be dust. We are formed from the dust of the ground. Elihu, when talking to Job, he made this confession. He said, I too am formed from the clay. We're just clay. We really are. Now, in spite of all of our achievements, so-called, in spite of all of our abilities, going to the moon and all the other things, actually and really, friend, you and I are nothing but clay. We are nothing but clay. And in ourselves and of ourselves, we have no value whatsoever. Now, you know, there's a difference, because some things have what's called intrinsic value. That is, they are valuable in and of themselves. You go into a mine where there's diamonds, and you dig until you find a diamond, and you bring it out, and that diamond has value. In and of itself, it has value. But my friend, there are no diamonds in the rough. There are none of us who have something that's like a spark of life that God only needs to refine a little bit to make it worthwhile. We are nothing but clay. And unless God does something with us, we'll remain clay, and we'll die clay, and we'll go to hell. You see, the clay has nothing redeeming in and of itself. If the potter were to pass by the clay will always stay clay. It'll never change. The clay has only value as a potter puts value in it. You remember that. You remember that. We are what we are by the grace of God and nothing else.
Amen.
Now, the first thing that happens is the potter goes out to the pit and he digs out some of the clay. Now, I'm going to be saying some things that you may not agree with and some things that you may not understand. In fact, I don't understand all of them. But you know, it's true, whether you realize it or not, that God does not save everybody. The Lord Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you." Now, when the potter goes out to the pit to dig the clay, he doesn't say, "Which of you fellows would like to go home with me today?" He of himself makes the choice. Now, you can read all the way through the Scriptures. I'm not going to take a lot of time because my time is limited. But you just take your concordance and you read under the word choose or chosen, and you'll find that God is the one who makes the choice. Now, I don't understand, as I said before, all of us involved in this, but I know that the clay does not choose, but it's the potter who does the choosing. All I can say in reference to this is that I thank God that he chose me one day.
Amen.
I praise God that one day out in the pit, he dug me up and he said, "I'm going to make something out of you." And he brought me into his house. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
I praise the Lord for that. Well, you know, the first thing the potter does is very cruel. It really is. It's a cruel thing. The first thing he does, and this really takes place, I'm not just talking, I'm telling you what actually takes place at the potter's house. He puts this clay on the hard pavement. And then he takes a mallet and he begins to break up the clay. He beats that clay until it's pulverized. Now, since this is an inanimate object, well, that doesn't sound so bad. But remember, this is a picture of us. Oh, my friend, listen. If you've never felt the hammer blows of God, then you don't know what it is to be saved, because that's the first thing he does. If you've never been convicted of your sin, if you've never been brought under God's wrath and recognized that you were guilty and undone and lost, my friend, you don't know what it means to be saved yet. I am convinced this morning that the reason most people are not saved is because they've never been lost.
Huh?
Did you understand what I said? You see, until God's word convinces you that you're lost, then why get saved? If I offer you a drink of water and you're not thirsty, you'll not take the water. If I tell you that Jesus died that you can go to heaven, but you're not convinced you're going to hell, then what difference does it make? Listen, the hammer of God is the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that the word of God is as a hammer that breaks it in pieces.
Amen.
And that's what the word of God does first. Listen, the word of God was not sent to comfort first. It was sent to break first. And God said that he will break and he will also heal.
Amen.
Oh, listen, the reason God breaks is to get us where he can use us. You see, God, not even the potter can use a piece of clay like that. That's unusual even to the potter. Do you know that? The potter cannot use this clay until it's first of all broken. And God cannot use any man until first of all he's broken before God. I read a sermon, I think it was by DeHaan, Broken Things. Did you know that God never used any man until he was first of all broken? God cannot use us until we're broken. The Word of God, the purpose of the Word of God is first of all to convince us of sin. It's to bring us under the condemnation, under the wrath of God, and make us recognize that we are undone, that we're unworthy. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that there is none good, no, not one. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. But God finds clay like that, and after bringing it under conviction of the Word of God, he pulverizes it. And then he does a wonderful thing. He puts this pulverized clay into a vat. It's about probably 6 or 8 foot square, and he pours the clay, the dirt into the vat, and then he pours water into it. And I saw that one day, and I thought, you know, that's what salvation is. After being broken, after being pulverized by the hammer of God's word, then he pours out the Holy Spirit upon us. Oh, and the soothing. I don't know how the clay feels, but I know how I felt. I know how I felt that day when the power of God swept over me. And I tell you, I felt cleansed. And you know, the Bible speaks about in Ephesians 5 about the washing of the water by the word. And the word of God is like a healing, cleansing. Oh my, it's so soothing. Because the Bible tells us that it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's by His mercy that He saves us. The Bible tells us that we're not now condemned, but that we're forgiven freely for all of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible brings us face to face, first of all, with our own iniquity, and then it points us to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Holy Spirit convinces us that the Word of God is true and that we're saved by grace. No, I tell you, that initial experience of salvation is one that we never forget.
Amen.
You know, some people, it's a shame, but some people don't grow very much. And every time they stand up and give a testimony, they give a testimony of how they got saved. And that's good. There are things that ought to go on beyond that. But isn't it marvelous we can remember when we first got saved? You remember when you first got saved? You remember how you felt so broken and beaten and so discouraged? And then the Holy Spirit of God brought you the comforting message of salvation, pointed you to the Lord Jesus who took away your sins. Well, that's what happened. Then the potter does something else. You see, he's not through with you yet. He's just starting. Some people think salvation is all there is. Boy, I tell you, if you go to the potter's house, you find that's just the very beginning. I mean, you're just getting started. When the potter breaks you and puts you in that vat and pours out the water, I tell you, that's just the beginning, just the initial stages. He takes a knife or some sharp instrument, and he cuts that clay into pieces. He cuts it into about 8 or 10 inch squares. I wondered, you know, for a long time, you know, how this applied to the Christian life. And then one day I realized, well, the Word of God is sharp and powerful, quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. And then I realized, well, you know, after I get saved, the Word of God doesn't stop operating on me. It still works on me. And you know how it works on me? Now, these, I believe, are valid applications. I believe the Word of God divides my life up into segments. You see, God does not take me and all at once transform me from what I was to what I shall be. But little by little, Amen. He works in my life. Amen. You know, isn't it marvelous how God is so tender with us? We're not that way with other people. I had a man in my church one time. He smoked and drank for years. Got saved, and he still smoked and drank it. And the Lord took, I don't know how long, 2 or 3 years, I think, to finally get him to give up his cigarettes and his drinking. But the day that he gave it up, he tried to pull his wife screaming and kicking right along with him. And every time he would talk to somebody, he'd talk about his wife still smoking, and it was terrible. I tried to show him how God had been patient with him. Why couldn't he be patient with her? We're not very patient with each other, but God is so patient with us, isn't he? Have you thought about how patient God is? He takes just one area of your life and he says, let's work on this. And he begins to work on that, you know. Oh my, isn't it glorious? But he does that. He takes this and divides it up into little squares, and then he takes that little square and he puts it on his wheel and it begins to work. Now listen, if you don't get on the wheel, you're not going to get formed. Now there's one thing about the wheel. One thing about the wheel. It just goes round and round. Did you ever feel like you were just going round and round? Huh? Did you ever feel like you've been here before? Did you ever say, Lord, why don't we do something different? You know, it's really, really tough to just go round and round. You know, you feel like, Lord, I'm not accomplishing anything. You know, just going round and round, round and round. Oh, but friend, going round and round is what God's doing to shape your life. You see, because you're not just going round and round without a purpose, God has a purpose, and you're going around. Don't ever despise the work of God, even as just going round and round. I'll tell you, when you stop and think about the people that you appreciate the most, they're the people that are just faithful, aren't they? The people that are just faithful. The people that can just stand. The people who are not just looking for something marvelous or stupendous or fantastic. The people who just stand day after day and plod along. God's looking for people that are just plodding, that are willing to get on the wheel and just go round and round and let Him shape. Well, I noticed something about the potter as he shaped the people, as he shaped the clay, and that was that in the very initial stages, he would use all of the force that he had. He would mash that clay with tremendous force, and the muscles of his arm would just bulge as he pressed that clay into shape. But then as the clay began to take shape and form, I tell you, it was so tenderly that he touched the clay and began to move his hands around the clay and to form it with such care. And I realized that's how he works with us. Just like old Jonah, he said, Jonah says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And old Jonah says, oh, no, I won't. God says, yes, you will. He says, no, I won't. And so God had to use force, didn't he? Use force. He had to bring force to bear. And that's the way we are. God desires of something of us. And in the beginning, we say, oh, no, Lord, not that, Lord. Oh, Lord, not that. Well, now you're not going to change God's mind. I got news for you. The only thing that's going to happen is that you're going to find a tremendous force applied in your life. You ever feel that? Do you ever feel like everything was closing in on you? Do you ever feel like, well, what in the world is everything is going wrong? That's right. God, when we are not receptive to His will, begins to apply the pressure to us. Mike's not preaching this morning, but if he were, he could give you a testimony of how the pressure of God was applied to his life. The Lord spoke to him, and Mike had other things to do. And so the Lord began to apply pressure. But that's true of all of us. You know, wouldn't it be glorious if just in the very beginning, that we could say, yes, Lord. But you know, that's not the nature of clay. The nature of clay is not to respond so quickly. You have to have the pressure applied first. But I'm so glad that when the need is gone, that the pressure is gone too. I'm so glad that God knows when to be tender. We ought to learn how to be tender too, shouldn't we, to one another. We ought to learn how to be tough, but we ought to learn how to be tender. We ought to be like God. Well, he starts to form this clay. And you know, a marvelous saying. It's all locked up in the mind of the potter because you never know when he starts to form the clay what's going to come out of that clay. He always starts the same way. It always looks the same when he starts, but the finished product is always different. Now, this is something that we need to learn, and we need to learn well, and that is that God can make of us whatever he pleases.
Amen.
The potter never consults the clay and asks the clay, what would you like to be? In fact, the potter never says anything. That's one of the most discouraging things about God. He just sometimes won't talk to you, will he? Wouldn't you like to have some answers? Wouldn't you? Lord, what are you doing that for? Lord, what's this happening for? Lord, I don't understand this. You know, the potter never talks. He just sits and he works. And that's what God's doing. Now, we have his word, but his word is not always so specific, is it? Like when that baby gets sick and dies. There's not an answer. You can't go to the word of God and find out an answer for that. What about when you lose your job and you can't find another? There's not an answer for that specifically. But you know, there is an answer. And that is that God is a potter. And that God's still working in your life. Don't give up. Don't despair. Don't forget that God's a potter and that you're the clay. Now over in Romans, it talks about the potter and the clay. And there's a question brought up. Well, now if God is going to do this, then how can he find fault? And Paul only answered this. He said, how can it be that the potter could say to the clay, the clay could say to the potter, why have you made me this way? Friend, you have nothing to say to the potter. The clay does not respond to the potter. We should never talk back to God. We ought to be glad for what he's doing in our life and be patient and wait until the end. You know, there's a button that some people wear that says BPWI something or another. I forgot all the letters. But it simply stands for be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. We ought to be patient with us. We ought to be patient with God. We ought to let him do what he's going to do. But the potter begins to form the clay. Sometimes it's a cup, as you see here. Sometimes it's a plate. Sometimes it's a bowl. Sometimes it's a bud vase. Sometimes it's a bean pot. Now, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd rather be a bud vase. You know, those are really pretty. I really had. You know, they put those up on the most prominent place in the room and put a flower in it. Everybody's oohs and ahs over it. That's what I'd like. I'd like to be a bud vase, wouldn't you? You know, if God just asked me, that's what I'd like. I'd like to be a bud vase. You know, I don't understand why God didn't let me sing like Brother Jim. I've often imagined myself, you know, standing before great crowds and singing. And everybody's like, oh, isn't that marvelous? But, you know, God didn't give me a voice. So I'll just have to wait until I can sing up there. But God just makes us what he wants to be. Now, if I had my druthers, I sure wouldn't want to be a bean pot. You know what they use bean pots for? Nobody ever oozed and ahs over a bean pot. They put them on the open fire. They fill it with water and fill it with beans, and they put the fire under it, and it just gets all sooty and smoky and ugly. But you know what the people do? They ooze and ahs over what comes out of it. Isn't that glorious? You may not be very pretty, but you know God can get something out of you.
Amen.
Every one of us can supply the need of people if we'll only let God work in our lives. Whether it be a bud vase or whether it be a bean pot, it doesn't make any difference. God is going to use us in some way.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? You know, the potter doesn't make any vessel. You think about it. He doesn't make any vessel that has no use.
That's right.
Everything the potter makes has a use.
Amen.
For it. He doesn't just go around making trinkets.
Right.
Everything he makes has a use, has a purpose. And believe me, friend, this morning, you have a reason for being.
Amen.
God has a purpose for your life. And if you'll just be patient and seek his will, then God will reveal to you the purpose of your life. That's real happy. Well, the potter uses some unusual things. I just couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. I thought, now since the potter is very... got a very crude material to work with, the clay, and a very crude instrument, you know, the wheel that goes over. Did you ever see a potter's wheel? It's not very fancy. It really isn't. It's just an old wooden wheel at the top and a long stick through it, like an axle, and then at the bottom a great big wooden wheel, and he takes that old barefoot and he turns that big wheel, and the big wheel gets up speed and makes the little wheel turn around, and the clay goes around on that little wheel. Well, I thought he's got to have some fine instruments to work with. But you know what he had? He had a bent pen. It was bent. He had a broken piece of pottery. He had a piece of bamboo that was broken. He had a string, just a little piece of string about so long, and he had a bent piece of metal, just like a S shape or a Z shape, I guess. And that's all the potter has. And you wonder sometimes how God can take such crude people as we are and such unusual circumstances as we have and make anything out of us at all. But you see again, friend, it's not the clay, it's not the instruments, it's the potter.
Amen.
Oh, listen, the whole thing is to bring our attention to the potter. We're not to have our attention placed on the clay or the instrument, but on the potter himself.
Amen.
And that's why it's so wrong for people to go church hopping. You know, some people just have the idea, boy, if I could just be under his ministry, if I could just go here, and they just keep flopping from here to here, hoping to find the instrument someday that'll change. It's not the instruments, friend. It's God the potter. And he can do that without any fancy instrument. I know that because he doesn't have very many fancy instruments around here, does he? I tell you, when Lindell and Brent get up, you're convinced that God takes the foolish things of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're not very wise, but I tell you, God doesn't need good instruments. He just needs the power, the ability that he has, and the clay that's responsive to him. Well, I've got to hurry. So many things that could be said. He takes the clay, and he forms it into a cup. This cup now has been changed drastically from this, hasn't it? Huh? Really amazing. He sets that cup. Now, this is not the exact color that it was when it was made. It's a little bit lighter, and that is more like this color here. But he takes that and he puts it out in the sun. Because, you know, when it's first made, it's still real floppy. I don't know what word to use. But it doesn't have much consistency of holding together. It still is real. And that's just like Christians, you know. When we're first saved, you know, we're so liable to bend this way or that way. And that's why we need to be under godly preaching. That's why we need to be in the Word of God and pray. That's why we need to be sure that the doctrines, the winds of doctrine don't push and match us all out of shape. Because God wants us to stay the way that He's formed us. Well, He sets that in the sun. And you know, there's not anything quite, every process seems like it gets worse. There's not anything quite so difficult as just being set aside for a while. And you know, so many Christians, after their initial experience of salvation, they feel like, well, something's happened. You know, the initial joy is not there. And they find that they're not really useful. They find that nobody, you know, seems to pay much attention to them. They're just sitting out there in the sun. Like almost they've been forgotten. No, that's part of the process. And if you feel that way, remember, God hasn't forgotten you. You're still right in the exact place that God wants you to be. God is just using another process. And this process is drying. And some people need to dry. They really do. Some people need to be let alone just a little while and contemplate and go back over where they've come from. Go back over what they've been saved from. Oh, listen, we need to just be patient under the hand of God. The Bible says that we ought to take the temptations that we're faced with joy. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy when your faith is tried. And you know, in the very beginning, God begins to try our faith. He wants to make our faith something solid. You see, if I had this cup as it just came off the potter's wheel, I could just with my finger just mash it together. But I can't now because the Son has put some strength in it. And you know, the only thing that will strengthen you is trials. You know, we all want to be strong, but we don't want to have any trials. Lord, I want to be strong, but I don't want to exercise. Well, there's only one way to get strong, and that's to have trials. Well, this cup now, as I said, is quite different from the clay in it. It really is. And so, I would just like to ask you a question. Would you say that this cup now has value to it? How many of you think this cup has value? Let me see your hand. That's quite different from the clay in it. But you know, the amazing thing is that cup still doesn't have any. You see, if it had value, you'd still want to take it home. But I don't imagine anybody's going to want to take this one home. You know why? Because the value is not in the clay. The value is in what the potter did to the clay. Oh, friend, listen. If you don't learn any other lesson this morning, learn this. You and I have no value. It's what God has done with us through Jesus Christ. The only value we have, you look in the Word of God, you'll find over and over again, in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in Him. And outside of Him, my friend, we're nothing but clay, nothing but clay. Now, you see, I could drop a diamond, and if I walked off and left it, there'd be somebody searching for that diamond. They'd be scratching all over that carpet trying to find that diamond. You know why? Because the diamond has intrinsic value. We have no intrinsic value. We were clay, and we're still clay. You see, be getting saved didn't change us. That's discouraging, isn't it? But we still don't have any value. In fact, God doesn't even change our old human nature. You know, we think surely God would at least improve our old human nature a little bit. But you know, my human nature is just like the lost man's human nature. It hadn't been improved even. Oh, but I've been redeemed. Amen. I've been saved, and God is making something out of me. Well, after it's dried, then the potter does something even worse. He takes that beautiful cup, and he puts it in a furnace. Oh, and talk about trying your faith. You ever been in a fire? Some of you have been through fires. I mean real fires. But I'll tell you, the real fire is a spiritual conflict. The real fires are when doubts come and assail us. The real fires are when people that we trusted in fall away. The real fire is when Satan comes and causes us to doubt the Word of God. But my friend, listen, the fire is only trying our faith. And that cup that I just dropped had strength. But this cup has much more strength. You hear that ring? That ring means that it's a good, solid cup. You want to be a good, solid Christian? Then don't shun the fire. Be willing to go through the fire. Because you see, it's in the fire where you get your strength. It's through the furnace that you get your strength. And you know, I'm not able to share all that I'd like to, but I want to just share this about the fire. You know, when he puts the cup in there, he puts it on shelves, and then he closes it up, and then he builds a fire. And you think, you know, that's really cruel. That's really cruel for the potter to do that. But you know, again, you have to realize that the potter knows what he's doing. I learned two things. The potter never builds a fire hotter than it ought to be. He knows how hot that fire ought to be. And he never leaves a cup any longer than it needs to be left.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
The Bible says that there's no temptation that has overtaken us, but to such as is common to man, and God has provided with every temptation a way of escape. God knows how hot to build a fire and how long to leave us in. And He'll never go off and forsake us and forget us. I tell you, I like that. I know that God is faithful, and He's trying to make a cup for His own glory, and it would not be to His glory to burn it up. Isn't that glorious? Oh, sometimes you may think God's forgotten, but He hadn't. God hadn't forgotten. Sometimes you may think it's too hot, but it's not. You're going to make it. You're going to endure as sure as the world. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Don't you forget it. Then, Romans 8:28. That's the name of that cup. Romans 8:28. You know what Romans 8:28 says? It says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now you see, this cup and this cup over here are the same cup. I wish I had one with the same design, but they're painted the same way. But you see, this doesn't look like this. And the reason this doesn't look like this is because we don't have eyes to see. That potter has about 8 or 9 or 10 bowls, and they all look the same. Every color looks the same. I mean, those colors are so near the same, you can't tell the difference. But you ask the Father, what color is that? And he'll say orange. And what color is that? And he'll say blue. And what color is that? And he'll say brown. And they all look the same. Now, that is a matter of faith when I accepted what the Father told me. It doesn't look like what he says at all. But you know, things happen in our life, and the Lord says, now that's for your good. And we say, Lord, I don't believe that. That doesn't look like good. That looks like bad. But the Lord, as he begins to paint our life, as he begins to make us like he wants us, he applies things to our life that we just can't see, that we can't comprehend and understand. But by faith, we can believe Romans 8:28. And that is that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You believe that? I believe it. I don't understand it. But I believe it. I really do. I fully believe Romans 8:28. Now maybe you're here this morning and you need this comfort. Now the Bible doesn't say that everything's good. I always use this just as emphasis. What's the very worst thing that ever happened in this world? The very worst thing that ever happened was when man crucified the Lord Jesus. When the creature crucified the Creator. When sinful man took a sinless, holy God and nailed him to the cross, that was the worst thing that ever happened. Well, what was the best thing that ever happened? What's the very worst, the very best thing that ever happened? No, it's the same thing. The very same thing was the best thing. You know why? Because God turned it around. Joseph told his brothers one day, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. Men thought they were getting rid of Christ, but God, by the death of Christ, slew him that has power over the dead, even the devil himself. And by the death of Christ, we're redeemed. Now, if you think God has any trouble with your little fiddling thing, just remember, it didn't bother him at all when they nailed his son to the cross. He just simply twisted it around and made it for good. Well, that cup is a beautiful cup in the eyes of the Father. And remember this, friend, wherever you are in God's purpose and God's plan, you're a beautiful cup to him. We may not look pretty at each other. We may not be able to see our own beauty, but God looks upon us with the eyes of the one who made it. The one who understands. And he sees the end from the beginning. And he knows that's a beautiful cup. Well, the next thing is, seems really strange, doesn't it? He takes that cup that's been painted and dips it in that orange solution. Now that is one of the most difficult things for a mature Christian. Why is it that sometimes God hides us? Why is it sometimes that we're not allowed to show forth what God has done through us? Why is it that sometimes God seems to cover up and not let out what he's put within us? Why is it that we're not able to stand and before people and express what we'd like to express? Why is it that we're not able to influence people like we'd like to influence people? I don't know why it is, but God in his infinite wisdom has seen fit to conceal rather than reveal many times. Don't be discouraged. Even if it seems that everything God's done with you is shut up and nobody can see it. You see, the main purpose is for his glory, not for man's benefit. Well, you see, if he didn't put that coating on, there wouldn't be the brilliant finish that's in this cup over here. That cup and this cup, the only difference is the fire. Oh, you mean there's another fire? There's another fire. The Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about the last fire. And it says that every one of us are going to be tried by fire. And you know what? Only that which the potter wants to come out is going to come out. All the bad stuff is going to be gone. The colors are going to be changed, and you're going to be a finished product one day. That's a real promise in that passage in 1 Corinthians 3. It says that if we, all of our life, have not done the things that God has told us to do, that all of those works that we've done that have not been pleasing to God are going to be burned up. But it says we ourselves, only using the singular, he himself shall be. I say there's a promise, friend, that God's work is going to endure the fire. All the things that man might do are going to be burned up. But God's word is going to stand the test. It's going to come out a finished product. Now, God is working today to transform this. You see, God is the heavenly Father. And we're the clay. We really are. We're the clay. And God's purpose is to transform this into this. And you know, he's made us a promise.
Amen.
Now, I don't know where you are in the process. I don't know whether you're here or here, like this cup was, or one of these other cups. I don't know where you are along the process. But I can guarantee you that one day you'll be like
Amen.
This.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The Bible says that, beloved, now we're the sons of God, Amen. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
God is transforming us from glory to glory into the image of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, there's so many more things that I'd like to share, but our time is gone. But now we've got a finished cup. Something of value, right? Something of utility. Something good. There's that beautiful cup. Do you see, friend?
It's still not the clay.
Clay is still clay. Whatever stage it might be, it's still clay. The only thing that made that cup different from this clay. You see, one day when we stand in His presence, there'll be no boasting. We'll have to say, saved by grace.
Amen.
Saved by grace. Where is boasting? It's gone. Because we'll just be clay that's been fashioned by His marvelous hand. Oh, but my friend, this morning, there's hope. Because God doesn't expect anything out of the clay except our submission. All the way along the process, all the clay has to do is to yield to the potter. Are you yielded this morning to the potter? Have you yielded yourself to Him? I wish this morning that some of you who are still like this could get in the potter. God this morning is the clay. He's searching out clay. Would you be clay in the potter's hand? Would you yield yourself to Him? Would you say yes to Him? Lord, we thank You that You're the potter. We're thankful that You know how to work with clay. Lord, we're glad that You didn't come to look for gold or silver, but You came to look for clay. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning, first of all, that those that are Your precious children, those that are in the process of being formed by Your mighty hand, will recognize that You're the potter and yield themselves gladly, endure the affliction, suffer the trial of their faith, and rejoice. Oh, God, make us to rejoice. Help us to see that the promise is secure, that we have an inheritance that's uncorruptible and undefiled that's laid up in the heavens for us, that one day, because of Your mighty power, that we're going to be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's one here this morning that's still in the pit, oh, that he'll submit himself to that divine potter who's seeking this morning clay to transform. Oh, I pray You convict this morning with a hammer blow of Your word, of his or her lost condition. May they recognize this morning that there's no hope outside of Christ. And then point him to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. May You have Your way this morning in our hearts. In our hearts, in Jesus' name that I pray. We're going to sing a song. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song. Would you come this morning to the potter?
Won't you bow your heads and just close your eyes and listen. Listen to the voice of God. Brother Jim's going to sing as he does. If there's something in your heart that needs to be done, why don't you step out and do it? If you're here without Jesus Christ, why don't you come and be saved? Does he have his way? Christian friend, you've been resisting the way of God. Why don't you come on down here and get it right? Get on your knees. Submit yourself to the Lord. Amen. Others of you need to come. Amen. Brother Jim's going to sing another verse in just a minute. I want to ask you, friend, are you saved? Are you saved? Would you come to Jesus Christ and be saved? The only hope you have is Christ in you. Will you let Christ, will you yield yourself to the Spirit of God? Will you ask Him to save your soul this day? Would you come as He sings this next verse? Maybe there are Christians here, you need to get right with God, and you've been resisting God. Why don't you come on down here and get on your knees and make it right with God. Submit yourself unto Him. How about you? How about you, friend? Will you let Him have His way? If you let Him have His way, He'll save your soul today.
Amen.
If you let Him have His way, my friend, He'll change your life today.
Amen.
Christian friend, if you let Him have His way, oh, He'll heal the wounds. Won't you come on to Jesus? He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, will you come to Him today? Jim's going to sing one more verse. As he sings it, would you come? Would you let Him have His way? Christ only. Christ only. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the potter.
Amen.
And Lord, we are thankful that we are the clay.
Amen.
We're thankful for what Your hand has done to us from the day that we were saved and even before we were saved to bring us to salvation. And Lord, what You're doing within our lives
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, that we would be submissive Christians in Your hand.
Amen.
I pray for any lost soul, the sound of our voice, that Lord, that they would yield themselves to Thee as the heavenly potter.
Amen.
And ask for forgiveness and cleansing and accept what You've done in Christ Jesus. And then, dear Lord, I pray that every believer here would be yielded. Lord, those that are going through fire or other difficulties in life, that Lord, we'd learn to recognize it's Your hand.
Amen.
And Lord, to praise You for Your hand,
praise
for we know You never touch us except to mold us into the
Amen.
Image You'd have us to be.
Amen.
Now bless us and go with us this day. Bring us back tonight to bring honor and glory to Your name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good day. Lord bless you.
Amen.